ಶಿವರಾಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭಾ ಅಜಯೋ ಗಿರಿವರಾಧಾರೇ ಜಯೋ ಗಿರಿವರಾಧಾರೇ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭಾ ಅಜಯೋ ಗಿರಿವರ ಹರೇ ಜಯೋ ಗಿರಿವರಾಧಾರೇ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರಾಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಅಜಯೋ ಗಿರಿವರಾಧಾರಿ ಜಯೋ ಗಿರಿವರಾಧಾರಿ ಜಯೋ ಗಿರಿವರಾಧಾರಿ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತಥೋ ಜಯಂ ಉದ್ಧೀರಯೇತ್ ಶೃಣ್ವತಂ ಸ್ವಾಗತ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪುಣ್ಯಶ್ರವಣ ಕೀರ್ತನಃ ಹೃದಂತಸ್ಥೋ ಹಿ ಅಭದ್ರಾಣಿ ವಿದುನ್ನೋತಿ ಸುಹುತ್ಸತಾಂ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ by regular attendance in classes on Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troubles from the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service onto the personality of Godhead, whose praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. So by rendering of service to the pure devotee, looks like that is what today's verse is talking about, rendering of service to a pure devotee. So Canto 7, The Signs of God, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees, Text 14. Ya etat kirtayan mahyam, kirtayan mahyam, ya etat kirtayan mahyam, ಕೀರ್ತಯನ್ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ತ್ವಯಾ ಗೀತಂ ಇದಂ ನರಃ ಗೀತಂ ಇದಂ ನರಃ ತ್ವಯಾ ಗೀತಂ ಇದಂ ನರಃ ಇತಂ ಇದಂ ನರಃ ತ್ವಾಂ ಚ ಮಾಂ ಚ ಸ್ಮರನ್ ಕಾಲೇ ಚ ಮಾಂ ಚ ಸ್ಮರನ್ ಕಾಲೇ Tvam cha mam cha smaran kale cha mam cha smaran kale karma bandhat pramuchyate pramuch yayetat kirtayan mahyam tvaya gitam idam naraha tvam cha mam cha smaran kale pramuchyate. Yayetat kirtayan mahyam naya gitam adam naraham chasmaran kale karma bandhat pramuchyate. Yayetat kirtayan mahyam tvaya gitam idam naraha tvam cha mam cha smaran kale karma bandhat pramuchyate. Yayetat kirtayan mahyam tvaya gitam idam naraha tvam cha mam cha smaran kale karma bandhat pramuchyate.
Anyone wants?
Yayetat kirtayan mahyam tvaya gitam idam naraha tvam cha mam cha smaran kale karma bandhat pramuchyate. Yeah, word to word meaning by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yaha, anyone, etat, this activity, kirtayat, chants, mahyam, onto me, tvaya, by you, gitam, prayers offered, idam, this, naraha, human being, tvam, you, cha, as well as mam cha, me also, smaran, remembering, kale, in due course of time, karma bandhat, from the bondage of material activities, pramuchyate, becomes free. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. One who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. Here it is stated that anyone who chants and hears about the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, and in relationship with Prahlad's activities, the activities of Narasimha Dev, gradually becomes free from all the bondage of fruitive activities. So hear carefully. This is one part of the purport. Here it stated, anyone who chants and hears about the acts of Prahlad Maharaj and in relationship with Prahlad's activities, the activities of Narasimha Dev gradually becomes free from all the bondage of fruitive activities. So this part is directly related to the translation. And then suddenly we find Srila Prabhupada moving away from the translation. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.15 and 2.56, yam hi na vyatante te purusham purusharshabha sudukka sukham dhiram so amruta vyakalpate. So, O best among men, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. And Prabhupada continues, Dukkeshu anudvignamana sukeshu vigataspruha vitaraga bhaya krodha sitadhir munirucchate. One who is not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. A devotee should not be aggrieved in an awkward position, nor should he feel extraordinarily happy in material opulence. This is the way of expert management of material life. Because a devotee knows how to manage expertly, he is called Jivan Mukta. As Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Iha yasya harer dasya karmana manasa gire gira nikilasu api avastasu jivan mukta savuchyate. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words in service of Krishna with his body, mind and intelligence and word, is a liberated person even within this material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. Because of constantly engaging in devotional service, in any condition of life, a devotee is free from all material bondage. Bhaktihi punati mananista swapakan apisambhavat. Even when born in a family of man-eaters, he is purified if he engages in devotional service. Srila Jiva Goswami cites this verse in logically supporting that anyone who chants about the pure life and activities of Prahlad Maharaj is freed from the reactions of material activities. So we find that the first line of the purport and the last line of the purport, they are connected to the translation of the verse. But the rest of the purport appears to be moving away from the translation. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganara Gunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Saganalalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate girim yat krupatamaham vande paramananda madhavam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has the form of Satchitananda Vigraha, transcendental bliss, knowledge and eternity. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him who turns the dumb into eloquent speakers and enables the lame to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of Lord. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, did anyone make an attempt to read the purport before coming to the class? Anyone? Yeah, thank you. So one who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. Vishwachakya Thakur, commenting on this line, says that not only Prahlad Maharaj, you are free of bondage. This is a verse spoken by Lord Narasimha Dev. So, says that not only your bondage, but others who remember you, and they also become free of bondage. So not only is Prahlad Maharaj is free of bondage, but anyone who thinks of Srila Prabhupada, means Prahlad Maharaj, and his activities also become free of bondage. And Prabhupada continues in his purpose. He has stated, anyone who chants and hears about the activities of Prahlad Maharaj and in relationship with Prahlad's activity, the act of Narasimhadev, gradually becomes free from the bondage of fruitive activities. So it's not easy for anyone to chant and hear about the activities of other person. I want to chant about myself. I want to glorify about myself. I want to hear about my own glories when others speak. But here, Narasimhadeva says that anyone who chants and hears a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj and his activities in relationship to Narasimhadeva gradually becomes free. And what is the term gradually becomes free? It's the Kale. Prabhupada translates that Kale in due course of time, or in translation uses, in purport uses, gradually becomes free. So therefore here we find that we need to chant and glorify the activities of a pure devotee. Now who can do that? Any thoughts? Who can chant and glorify the activities of other persons? Because I am born in this material world, I am conditioned, and I always think of about myself, I and me, or I and mine, Prabhupada says. But here, instead of talking about myself, I need to talk about someone else. And wholeheartedly, from the core of my heart, glorify that person. It's not that my lips are saying something and my heart is beating something else. They should not be asynchronous, it should be synchronous. Genuinely, that we are able to glorify other devotees. And who can do that? Any thoughts? Yeah. So any devotee who is free from envy, only that person can glorify others. And being envious in one level or one sense is natural, because we are all born in this world and the first element to form is false ego. And that false ego ties us to the material world, ahankar. And therefore, in relation to that ahankar, you have the other qualities emerging. What are those qualities? Kama, krodha, madha, moha, matsariya, lobha, matsariya. So kama, krodha, lobha, madha, moha, matsariya. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments on this kama, krodha, madha, moha, matsarya, that one who has matsarya or envy has all the other qualities. So someone who is in the material world has a natural desire, and the consequence of the desire, it ends up with the envy. And someone who is having envy is harboring all these negative qualities, kama, krodha, madha, moha. So what's the solution? It's to, in spite of having those or matsarya, enviousness, somehow we should chant the glories of the Lord and His devotee. Maybe in the beginning it could be mechanical, but as we chant and glorify the devotees and the Lord, then gradually we become purified. And when we become gradually purified, the same glorification or the prayers of the exalted devotees, they become natural to us. We are all, at least I am struggling with the anartha nivritti itself. And when I am struggling with the anartha nivrittis, praying sincerely or glorifying sincerely, it's not an easy task. But that's the process being recommended. That, and even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna that I'm narrating this Gita or I'm speaking to you Gita only because you are my devotee and not envious. So Krishna gives us the clue that we should rise above the enviousness. And this is where the difference in processes come from the process of the Jnana school, from the process of the Yoga school, to the process of the Bhakti school. If you look at the Jnana school, they spend hours together in reading Vedanta. Or more specifically, maybe they may be reading Sharirika Bhashya, a commentary written by Sripad Shankaracharya. Hours together. And in that process, is the root being addressed. The person is making an effort in trying to study the Vedanta, and in the process he still continues to be in the center. Because he says, I am making an effort, I am a jnani. So that I still persist, that I still exist. And if you look at a tapasvi, someone who is doing meditation, yoga, the person may be staying in Himalaya, staying in extremely cold conditions, living under caves, performing tapasya, but still he thinks that I am the tapasvi, I am detached. So still, even in that process, that I exist. That I, which is the root cause for my envy, that is not being addressed there. Think about it. Whether he's a jnani or whether it's a yogi, Ashtanga yogi, they are not trying to address the root cause of the enviousness. And therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yoginam api sarvesha madgaten antaratmanaha. So someone who is trying to think about me, he is the person who is the best of the yogis. Whereas what is the consciousness of a devotee? What is the consciousness of a devotee? Gopi bhatta pada kamalayor dasa 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 anu dasa. He never thinks that he is the master. In the case of other processes, they are thinking they are the masters. So therefore the I address is not being addressed. But in this process, from the very beginning, we are taught that we are not the master. Rather, we are the servant of the servant, the servant of the servants. And Krishna also says that if you love my servant, then you can love me. Like in the office, I find that many of my colleagues, they have dogs. And to attract the attention of the other colleague and especially the manager, they try to glorify the dog. So when you glorify the dog, the master becomes very happy. And therefore the manager becomes very happy. And the manager becomes very happy, your position is safe in the office. And here also we find that Krishna says, if you want to love me, love my devotee. It's not other way around. If I love myself, that I'll be able to love devotee or love the Lord. It's actually, if I love the Lord, then I can love the devotee or I can love others and equally myself. But simply loving myself, it's not going to create that prema or affection, love for others. So that should be in relation with the Lord only. And I still remember a dialogue from a Hindi movie some 40 years back. Ma ko pakadna hai to bichre ko pakado. If you want to catch hold of the mother, catch their baby. So if you love the baby, then you automatically, the mother gets attracted. So similarly, Krishna says, you love my devotee, then you love myself, you can love me. And in this process, you are addressing the root cause, the I itself, that I no longer exist in one sense, I exist in relationship to my master, in relationship to the parampara. So I serve my spiritual master serves his spiritual master, and the lineage continues. We never say that we want to serve the Lord directly. Even when somebody is on the altar, a pujari, it's only he's assisting his Gurudev. On behalf of the Gurudev, he performs the activities. In regards to this, there's an interesting pastime from Sripad Ramanujacharya's lineage. Kanchipurna was a great devotee of Lord Vardarajan. Lord Vardarajan is Lord Vishnu in the reclined position in Kanchipuram. Has anyone been to Kanchipuram? Yeah, thank you. You must be there. You have been to Kanchipuram? Yeah. So you find that Lord Vishnu is in a reclined position. He is called Lord Vardarajan. And Kanchipurna is an intimate devotee of Lord Vardarajan. Every day he would do the chamara to the Lord. His devotion, or his exalted devotion to the Lord, was so great that he used to have dialogue with Lord Vardarajan. So Lord Kanchipurna, after completing his daily chores, he would walk back home in the late night. And we are talking of long back, 1200 years back. And in those days, there was no electricity, nor solar lamps. So how was the darkness dispelled? In the night, by using a lamp, a kerosene lamp. So there was a brahmana who would carry the lamp in front of Kanchipurna every day so that Kanchipurna could safely reach home. That was his service. So Kanchipurna was serving the Lord directly, but here is a brahmana who was serving Kanchipurna in the night by showing him the lamp so that Kanchipurna can go richly safe home. And one day that brahmana petitions to Lord Vardarajan through Kanchipurna that, can you please ask, when will I go back home, back to Godhead? And as we said earlier, Kanchipurna used to have regular dialogue with Lord Vardarajan. And that was the custom in those days. Anyone had any personal problem, they would petition to Vardarajan through Kanchipurna. And Lord Vardarajan would give the answer. And that answer was given back to the petitioner or the individual. So here also the brahmana petitions to Lord Vardarajan through Kanchipurna. And Kanchipurna takes that request to Lord Vardarajan and says, when will this brahmana return back home? And what was the answer given by Vardarajan? He says, in this lifetime itself, he will return back home. And The Brahmana was happy that, well, he is going to return back home. Now comes to Kanchipurna. He could not contain himself. Out of inquisitiveness, he said, let me ask the same question for myself to Lord Vardarajan. So he asked the same question, when will I return back home to Godhead? And what was the answer given by Vardarajan? Not in this lifetime, nor in any lifetime. Please, not in this lifetime, nor in any lifetime you will return back home, back to Godhead. And Kanchipurna was surprised, because he's serving the Lord every day so intimately, so much so that they have a dialogue every day. And now Lord says that, well, you're not going to come back to my abode, not only in this lifetime, but not in any lifetime. And out of curiosity, Kanchipurna says, what is the problem? What is that wrong I'm doing? Lord Vardarajan says, because you have not served my devotee, so therefore you cannot come back home to my abode. Out of frustration or out of anger, immediately he dropped the chamara to Lord Vardarajan. He said, you take your chamara yourself. I'm not going to stay here. I'm in search of a devotee whom I can serve. So he was in Kanchipuram, and he begs every devotee, please allow me to serve you. And knowing the exalted position of Kanchipurna, no one would allow him to serve him. So what did Kanchipurna do? Ultimately, he had to go out of the town to Srirangam. From Kanchipurna, he travels to Srirangam. It's not like in today's case, you take a car or take a train and then you just go. He travels for long distance to reach Srirangam, and there he covers up himself, not as a Vaishnava, as a Shudra, and then starts serving the cowshed of Mahapurna. He was an exalted devotee, Mahapurna. And Mahapurna did not know that he was Kanchipurna, because he covered up himself, and therefore he allowed him to serve. And every day diligently Kanchipurna was serving Mahapurna's cowshed, taking care of cows, taking care of household chores. And it so happened that one day it was heavily pouring rain in the night. The whole shed was filled with water. And Kanchipurna thought that now nobody is going to come and disturb me. So therefore he takes out his that attire and then puts on his tilak and sits for his japa. Now Mahapurna is in his house. He thought that, well, I've got a new servant, and this servant must be drenched in water. Let me go and try to help him. And then he walks into the cowshed and sees this gentleman, Kanchipurna, doing his japa. He recognizes that he is an exalted devotee, and he falls at his feet. He says, what is that you are doing here? I am supposed to serve you. Instead, you are serving me. And by that time, 6 months period has gone by, and Mahapurna escorts Kanchipurna into the house, and then Kanchipurna leaves back home to Vardarajan, Kanchipuram. And now once again he petitions the same question to Lord Vardarajan, that when will I return back home? Then Vardarajan is very happy. He says, you will return home in this lifetime. So from this interesting pastime, we should understand, or we should learn, that our solace or our liberation or our journey back home, back to Godhead, lies in assisting or in serving other devotees, and more particularly the mission and mode of Srila Prabhupada. And what was the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada? The mood was that of compassion towards other living entities, that they are all suffering in the material world. Somehow I should share this message of Bhagavad Gita, share the message of Srimad Bhagavatam with them so that they also become elevated. The suffering, the Janma Mrityu Jara, we have the repeated cycle, they exit the cycle. And Krishna also says the same in Bhagavad Gita, which is 18.69, I think. Among the Manisheshu, it is Priya Krittamaha, that it is that person who is very dear to me, who takes this knowledge to others. So this is our mission, and if we can participate in this mission, then Srila Prabhupada is there to take us back home, back to Godhead. And the journey can start right from, is it tomorrow? The marathon is starting today. Wow. So Ekadasi marathon. So wholeheartedly we should participate in this marathon. We do our best to distribute the books. We do our best to distribute Prabhupada's mercy and can see how the miracles happen. This is what Gopinath Prabhu was saying the other day. Our own humble effort, by serving the mission, we are assuring ourselves, like Kanchipurna, serving devotees. So similarly, by serving others, we find that we get the mercy of the Parampara. Mercy of Srila Prabhupada, mercy of our Gurudev. So repeating of the glory of a Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj or an exalted devotee is the pathway back home. And we find that there are, here Lord Narasimha says that actors and who chant the prayers you have offered. So Prahlad Maharaj offers wonderful prayers, and in Srimad Bhagavatam there are so many beautiful prayers. And it means that we should remember or we should memorize some of the prayers at least from of these Vaishnavas. One prayer which all of us can memorize is Damodarashtakam. Damodarashtakam is a prayer we recite at least for a month every year, along with the other devotees, both morning and the evening. So that means that in a month, if we are, in a year we are nicely reciting, it implies that every day morning, even when you are in the kitchen, this is what I do. I play the tape, Shikshastakam. And the prayers of Lord Brahma, which is Brahma Samhita. If we memorize Brahma Samhita, you have memorized the essence of entire Vedic literature. Entire Vedic literature is contained in Brahma Samhita. So here Lord Narasimha Dev says that we should offer, we should recite the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj or exalted devotees. So we should be able to recite Brahma Samhita, we should be able to recite Damodarashtakam, we should be able to recite Shikshastakam and few other prayers. How many of you know Brahma Samhita by memory? Jai, wonderful, yeah, wonderful. It's not difficult, it's not easy, but it's not very difficult to memorize. And that's the way, that's the glory, or that's the pathway back home, back to God, which Narasimha Dev is saying. And we find that there is a verse from the Bhajana Mahatmya, the glory of devotional service. It's in Sri Padyavali, text 8. Vyadascha charanam dhruvascha cha vayo vidya gajendrayaka kubjaya kim u nama rupam adikam kim tat sudhamno dhanam vamsaha ko vidurasya yadavapater ugrasya kim paurusham bhaktya tushyati kevalam na cha guner bhakti priyo madhava. This is the verse which Srila Prabhupada often quotes. Bhaktya tushyati kevalam na cha guner bhakti priyo madhava. Where were the hunter dharma's piety or Dhruva's maturity and Gajendra's knowledge? Where was Kubja's beauty? Where was Sudama's wealth? Where was Vidura's noble birth? Where was Ugrasena's chivalrous strength? Lord Madhava is pleased only by devotional service and not by material qualification. So none of these exalted personalities have received the liberation from the material world or have found a place back in the spiritual world, not because they were jnanis or they were tapasvis, but because of their devotion. Can we think of a prayer in Srimad Bhagavatam by reciting they attracted the attention of the Lord? A devotee, or a, you can say in the process of becoming a devotee, that devotee or that jiva, you can say, recites the prayers and Krishna showers his mercy. Prahlad Maharaj, I was not thinking of Prabhu because this is the context of Prahlad Maharaj only. Yes, Prabhu.
Shantakaram Bhujakshayanam Padnavam Suryasham. That prayer is very good. Maybe from Bhagavatam.
Gopi Gitam. No, here the devotees are reciting. Here is the person who is reciting the prayer of other devotees. Well, the context is that, isn't it? Kaliya's pastime. If you recall the Kaliya's pastime, Kaliya is a snake, and snakes are
envious.
And so therefore he was very proud of himself. And so we know the pastime where Lord Krishna steps on his hood, starts dancing, and that head which would come up, he would hit that head, thump that head so strongly. Acharya says it's like a thunderbolt. He had 1,000 heads, and any head that would not, that tries to rise, he would stamp it. And a point came, he was profusely bleeding. He was vomiting blood. He was in a totally helpless condition. And at that time, what did he do to attract the attention of the Lord? He recites, even in a broken state, the prayers recited by his own wife. The wives were all devotees, and they offered the prayers, and he was not, you can imagine, the person is on the verge of death, who has profusely vomited blood. The strength has been lost. You are almost in a semi-conscious state. And in that state, he was required to offer the prayers, which he has never recited before. He only heard vaguely his wives reciting the prayers.
Nagapatnis.
So therefore, in that broken, in that semi-conscious state, profusely bleeding, totally tired, somehow he utters in a broken state the prayers of his wife. And that attracts the attention of the Lord. So we find that this is a beautiful example where by reciting the prayers of a devotee that attract the attention of the Lord. So we have seen the case of Kanchipurna, by serving a devotee he attracts the attention of the Lord, and here we find that Kaliya attracts the attention of the Lord by reciting the prayers of his wife. That too not in a proper way, but in some broken parts he recites, but still draws attention of the Lord. And this is one of the process which Prahlad Maharaj says, that Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Vandanam. So there we find, what is Vandanam? Vandanam is offering prayers. So prayers of whom? You can offer the prayers of other devotees. And Akrura, who is taken as an example for Vandanam, he offers prayers to the Lord. When I was deputed by Kamsa to bring Lord Krishna and Balram to Mathura. And today is the day, first day of Bhishma Panchakam. And Bhishma Panchakam offers Lord Bhishma offers wonderful prayers in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one can take this as an occasion to recite the prayers of Bhishma Dev at least in this 5 days period, to draw the mercy of Bhishma Dev. As yesterday, Narasimha Kavach Prabhu was saying that Prahlad Maharaj is both a Nitya Siddha and a Sadhaka Siddha. Similarly, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on Bhishma Dev that he is a Nitya Siddha and a Sadhaka Siddha. So when he returns back, a part of his Amsha returns back to spiritual world and another Amsha returns to the higher planetary system. So we can take the occasion to glorify Bhishma Dev's prayers in these 5 days. And we find that there are many prayers given in Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we find that Prabhupada translates that Kale, normally we say Kale as the time, but here it is Prabhupada translate that Kale in due course of time. So in due course of time, can we think of an example how Prabhupada compares due course of time as an analogy? Prabhupada gives the example of a young couple, a newly married couple. Yeah. He gives the analogy of gradually, that it's not that the lady becomes pregnant immediately. It takes some time.
In due course.
In due course of time. And that's what Prabhupada translates it, in due course of time. So when the lady serves her husband properly, with devotion, and then we find gradually it leads to pregnancy, and in due course of time she becomes a mother. So similarly here also, when we recite the prayers of Vaishnavas, in due course of time we become free from the reactions of the material activities. And we have the prayers which we recite Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Savana Kirtana Haudantastohiya Badrani Vidunnoti Susatam, where Krishna is saying that it cleanses the desire for material enjoyment in the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his message, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard. There are many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam where we find that Prabhupada quotes from other parts of Vedic literature, that is where Lord Shiva tells his wife, Mother Parvati, about the worship. Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. That worship of Lord Vishnu is the highest, but better than Vishnu is his devotee. And that's what we find here. Lord Narasimha Dev is saying that he addresses first who remembers your activities, first Prahlad's activities, and then his activities. And we find when I was trying to search through the Veda base, there are many places we find verses are repeating which talks about serving the devotee and serving the Lord is the gateway to back home, back Godhead. So now the rest of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about, O best among men, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. One who is not disturbed in spite of threefold miseries, who is not elated in his happiness and is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. So a devotee should not by grief in any awkward position, he feel nor should he feel extraordinarily happy in mental opulence. This is the way of expert management of material life. So this expert management of material life, Prabhupada mentions in the previous verse. And then in a person acting in Krishna consciousness with body, mind, intelligence and words is a liberated person even in this material world. Although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. So this is also once again continuation of the previous verse where Prabhupada in his purport says that although thus when performed, you say, a devotee has to create, Prahlad Maharaj himself had experienced this, for even his enemy became, so a devotee should expertly manage to think always of Supreme Lord, so that the reaction of suffering cannot touch him. This is the expert management. So therefore, when we are in the material world, we are subjected to the ups and downs or the vagaries of the material nature. Sometimes we become elated, sometimes we become depressed. But how to overcome or how to remain unimpacted or unaffected by these ups and downs in life is the what Prabhupada is trying to tell us through the verse Prabhupada is quoting. One who is not disturbed in spite of threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness. And how do we take that? So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that when we are suffering, we are having some problems. It could be health, it could be financial, it could be emotional. We should thank the Lord that this is only a token of my reaction. Otherwise, I should have suffered much more. And if I'm having any so-called happiness in the material world, we should once again thank the Lord that actually I don't deserve this. It's only Krishna out of His mercy has made this arrangement. So in this is the way how we manage expertly our living in this material world. Because we are in this material world, but we are not of this material world. We should remember that we are in this material world, but we are not of this material world. So the way we can remain equipoised or neutral to the vagaries of the material world is to dive deeper into Krishna consciousness. It's like the sleep, you have the jagruti, the dream state, and the dreamless state, the deep sleep. So someone who is in the deep sleep is not affected by the dream or by the woken up state. So similarly, someone who has dived deeper into Krishna consciousness, he remains unaffected by the turbulences or the happiness of this material world. And the way one can dive deeper into Krishna consciousness is to stay on the two pillars of gratitude and humility. Gratitude for what we are today because of the Vaishnavas, because of the spiritual master, because of Srila Prabhupada, because of the lineage. And how do we, to the extent it is possible in our own capacity, with God's, Krishna's given ability, to repay back that gratitude is to serve the mission. And serving the mission means serving the devotees, serving the Lord. And by serving them, we serve ourselves. Yeah, so therefore, we stop at... It is said that in one of the quotes, how to serve a devotee or why a Vaishnava is so important to be served, it is said that the Lord appears in the material world in four forms, that as a devotee, as the deity form, in the form of Ganga and Tulsi Maharani. And serving the devotee is not only in the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada, but we also find there are quotes saying that by taking the dust of an exalted devotee, by taking the water from the lotus feet of the devotee, and the remnants of an exalted devotee. It's not easy to do these three activities. To take the dust of a devotee, to take the to wash the feet of an exalted devotee and take that water, and to take the remnants of a devotee. Because that can be done only when my ego has been subjugated as Gopi Bhatta Pada Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa, that I am the servant of the servant. In that consciousness only one can take it. At least in my case, that's what I found, because I never touched, till I came to Krishna consciousness, somebody's plate, including my parents. I would not take even a grain from the plate. And as a child, I still remember my family members, any good item, they would put deliberately a grain into my plate, from their plate, and then I would leave the plate and I'll walk away. From that state, today I'm happy to take the remnants of a devotee. Would you like to recite? I think it's 9 o'clock. Okay, otherwise you can recite the prayers of Bhishma Dev back at home as a service to Bhishma Dev, to draw the attention of Bhishma Dev's mercy. Yeah, any question, any comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Your Holiness, thank you. Here we are worshipping Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Radha Krishna. But the Indian Vedantists are saying Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that Krishna is expanded from Vishnu. There is split for us, confusion. What? Are they Vedantists separate from the Gaudiya Math? Even ISKCON devotees have approached me and said, who are you worshipping, Vishnu, Krishna or Shiva? I'm saying I'm worshipping Krishna, the same as Jesus Christ, the same as God, Allah. It is simple. So why are they splitting, the Indian Vedantists, splitting up the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Do you understand my... This has been presented to the Westerners throughout history. It's a philosophical problem the Western philosophical people have faced by the Indian pundits, and much confusion is there. Could you clarify that in your Indian Vedantic viewpoint for us, please, Prabhuji, Your Holiness, if possible?
The question raised by devotee is that there's one school of thought which says that Krishna comes from Lord Vishnu, whereas in our sampradaya we tend to say that Vishnu comes from Krishna. Did I understand your question correctly?
Now you are saying Vishnu comes from Krishna.
No, I'm saying there's one school of thought which says that Vishnu comes from Krishna.
One school says
Krishna comes from Vishnu.
From Vishnu. Originally, Vishnu is to be worshipped, and then Krishna has come second. But we here I am understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality, that Vishnu and Shiva are equal in understanding and worship. They are all the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where is this business of expansion of one Krishna, Vishnu, into another one? Isn't that not dualism?
It's a topic by itself, Prabhu, to discuss, but at our level, whether Vishnu comes from Krishna or Krishna comes from Vishnu, at the level at which we are, it doesn't make a difference. Yes, they tend to say that Krishna comes from Vishnu based on Vishnu Puranam, and we tend to say that Vishnu comes from Krishna based on Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And we worship Radha Vallabha with awe and reverence as Lakshmi Narayan. So there is no difference between them. If you are worshipping Lord Vishnu, yes, please worship Lord Vishnu. If you are worshipping Lord Krishna, you worship Lord Krishna. And a time will come when your worship is sincere, you will come to know the truth. The truth is revealed to you. It is not through logic, through the reasoning, that one comes to understand who is who.
But still we have to respect. We cannot ignore that. Have to respect that if I went to India, when I was in India, if I meet Sikh, Buddhist, Jain or impersonalist, they are also representation of Krishna.
Yeah. We do respect them. We do not condemn a person. It is it depends on the individual who tries to reach out to the other person either through in the mood of a compassion and tries to share. It is like someone who is in grade 1, we do not teach grade 10 mathematics. Someone who is in grade 1, you teach only grade 1 mathematics and gradually take the person to grade 10. Somebody who is in grade 10, we don't take them to grade 1, rather we take them to grade 12 and higher. So we need to know what is the level of the other person and then take the person along with us to the highest level. It's not that because I know something, I want to unload that onto the other person. That does not serve the
purpose. I'm wished just Shastra, from Indian Shastra. I'm trying to clarify from ISKCON Shastra and Indian Shastra, because you referred to Vedanta. So Vedanta, I'm trying to see the difference between Vedanta and pure ISKCON bhakti. To purify my own bhakti, to clean out from my own brain and mind, the Vedanta, the impersonalism, Prabhupada, refers us often to the impersonalists. Watch out, these impersonalists, these reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam for money, professional reciters. So it's simply here we say Krishna, and is the Supreme Personality. Not as they are saying, Vishnu is first and expanded Krishna. Is that correct?
No, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter whether Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna, Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu,
yes,
at the level
at
the level at which we are. If the person is worshipping Lord Vishnu, be happy that he's worshipping Lord Vishnu. If you're worshipping Lord Krishna, you be happy that you're worshipping Lord Krishna. The problem comes instead of worshipping Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, instead of worshipping God, they're worshipping dog. That's the problem. So that's where the problem lies. You are subordinating yourself to somebody's superior authority. That is the first step in the journey of spiritual life. But not subordinating yourself and saying that I'm the big boss is a big issue. And we can argue or we can reason out, we can give so many examples from Shastra. But ultimately it is the realization within the heart that should dawn in an individual. That clarifies the thoughts, and for that, sincerely pray to Radha Vallabha, all your thoughts will be cleared. I may say anything, maybe the time is up, I may not be able to talk much on this issue, but even outside the class, anyone may say anything to you, but that's not going to give you the answer, because the answer has to come to you from within. So therefore you simply chant Hare Krishna sincerely, you will get to know the answer, it will dawn. It will appear as crystal clear in your heart, and therefore nobody needs to tell you who is who. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vanchakalpatarubhischa Krupa Sindubhya Yevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.